Insights. As we started getting more and more speaking requests at Zappos, we started sending other people from different departments to speak as well. Just like in our culture book, different employees told their own personal stories and gave their own presentations and perspective. To this day, we don't have a standard PowerPoint presentation that everyone gives. All the speaking we've done has led to a lot of unexpected results that we could not have possibly predicted. In addition to plenty of coverage in blogs and in the media, we've gotten to know many, many different conference organizers, which led to speaking engagements at Tony Robbins events, TED India, the Technology, Entertainment, and Design Conference, South by Southwest, a conference where the Dalai Lama also spoke, and the Inc. 500 conference. I've met many of the authors whose books we admire and carry in the Zappos library, including Jim Collins, Seth Godin, and Chip Conley. We've had people from all levels of a lot of different companies tour our headquarters as a result of our public speaking appearances. From those, we've developed many great relationships and business opportunities that would have otherwise never happened. We apply our core values whenever we give these talks. Rather than use our speaking opportunities to explicitly promote Zappos, we instead try to share as much as possible about how we do things in order to help the audience pursue growth and learning. And, in line with our core value of trying to build open and honest relationships with communication, we're happy to share numbers and other detailed information. All of this led to the single biggest unexpected result of our public speaking, realizing that we were actually changing other companies and other people's lives. It slowly started sinking in that we could be part of something that was much bigger than Zappos. We realized that we could change the world, not just by doing things differently at Zappos, but by helping change how other companies did things. It's been rewarding to hear from other people and companies about how they've changed their lives or the way they run their business by doing things such as implementing core values, focusing more on customer service, and focusing more on company culture and employee happiness, and how doing so has actually improved their financial performance as well. We continue to hear from people every day that Zappos inspired them to run their business differently, not necessarily because they wanted to be just like Zappos, but because they saw a real-life example that it was actually possible to run a values-based company that also focuses on everyone's happiness. They saw that it wasn't just theory, that there was a way to combine profits, passion, and purpose. The feedback and stories we received led us to develop Zappos Insights, an online video subscription service, and Zappos Insights Live, a two-day immersion seminar. Both programs are designed to help entrepreneurs and established businesses improve their companies. Many participants are specifically interested in learning how to create stronger cultures and their own set of core values. As we rolled out these additional services, we slowly realized that we were becoming part of a bigger movement. It was no longer just about Zappos. We were helping to change the world. Alignment. We did not invent the idea that having a vision that had a higher purpose was important. We did not invent the idea that having a strong culture and core values was important. Both of these ideas were highlighted in Good to Great and Tribal Leadership and have been around long before those books were published. But through tours, the culture book, public speaking, Zappos Insights, Zappos Insights Live, Twitter, and our blogs, we found ourselves in a unique position. We had scaled our business from nothing to over $1 billion in gross merchandise sales in less than 10 years. We had a strong set of integrated core values, and our culture of being open and honest and pursuing growth and learning was leading us to share, rather than hoard, all the corporate knowledge and learning we had accumulated over the years. We had a tough time convincing our board of directors, who were also investors, to embrace many of our activities that we believed would ultimately help build the Zappos brand and make the world a better place. The directors on our board came from primarily technology and manufacturing backgrounds, not retail or branding. Some of them didn't fully understand why we were doing Zappos Insights or why we wanted to embrace Twitter, and they really weren't convinced of the value of the brand culture pipeline platform we were building. Many of our efforts were dismissed by some members of our board of directors as Tony's social experiments. For the most part, members of our board of directors wanted us to just focus on the financial performance that was being driven by our e-commerce business, which made perfect sense. When Sequoia first invested in 2005, they had signed up to help build a service-focused e-commerce company. They probably expected some sort of financial exit in the form of an acquisition or IPO within 5 years, which was the timeline they saw from many of their other investments. They hadn't signed up for the additional things that we now wanted to do that were longer-term strategies and not directly related to e-commerce. And they certainly didn't sign up for us to help other businesses create their own visions or stronger cultures. But I saw the potential in what we were doing to make a much bigger impact beyond just Zappos. I'm pretty sure that my refusal to give up on that got me pretty close to being fired by the board. The 5-year mark from the time of their initial investment was fast approaching. Alfred, Fred, and I didn't want to sell the company, and due to a complicated capital structure involving liquidation preferences, attempting to go public during an economically turbulent time wasn't really an option either. In early 2009, we made Fortune magazine's list of 100 best companies to work for. We were the highest ranking debut in 2009. At our offices, we were thrilled because that was an internal goal we had set in the early days of the company, and it came just a month after we hit our goal of $1 billion in gross merchandise sales, well ahead of schedule. But at the board level, we were at a stalemate. The board wanted a financial exit, but internally at Zappos, we didn't want to exit. We wanted to continue to build, and we were in this for the long haul. Luckily, I controlled enough voting rights so that the board couldn't force us to sell the company. But they controlled enough board seats so that in theory, they could fire me and hire a new CEO who didn't care about company culture and was only concerned about maximizing profits from our e-commerce business. I realized I was relearning another version of the same lesson from Link Exchange when our company culture went downhill, the importance of alignment. A strong culture and committable core values are important because they create alignment amongst employees. I was now learning that alignment with shareholders and the board of directors was just as important. Top 10 questions to ask when looking for investors and board members. 1. Do you really need investors? Can you avoid funding by growing more slowly? 2. How actively involved will your investors be? How actively involved do you want your investors to be? 3. What value beyond money can your investors add? Connections, advice, experience? 4. What is the time horizon for a financial exit that your investors are expecting? 5. What, if anything, are your investors hoping to get out of their involvement beyond just financial return? How would they prioritize those things? 6. Do your investors and board of directors buy into the vision and mission of the company? 7. Would they accept less profits if it meant that the vision could be fulfilled faster? 8. How flexible are your investors and board members in their thinking? 9. Who controls the investors? Who controls the board? 10. Do the core values of your investors and board members match the core values of the company? Alfred, Fred, and I brainstormed ways we could address the alignment issues we were having with our board of directors. We certainly didn't want to sell the company and move on to something else. To us, Zappos wasn't just a job or something to build our careers. It was a calling. We had too much of an emotional investment in the company to just give up. We had gotten through much tougher things at Zappos before. This was just another challenge we needed to figure out. So we came up with a plan. We would buy out our board of directors. Amazon. We figured it would cost about $200 million to buy out our board of directors, so we started looking for other potential investors. In early 2009, we started talking to various private equity firms, venture investors, wealthy family businesses, and wealthy individuals. The idea was to raise money from them for a stake in the company so that we could then buy out Sequoia and some of our other shareholders and board members. As we were going through the process of talking with these different potential investors, Amazon contacted us. We had been in touch with them for the past several years. Jeff Bezos, founder and CEO of Amazon, first contacted me back in 2005 and paid us a visit in Las Vegas. Even before he flew down, we let him know that we weren't looking to sell the company. Date, August 16, 2005. From Tony Hsieh to Jeff Bezos. Subject, Thursday's Amazon Zappos meeting. Hi, Jeff. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person on Thursday. I just wanted to set proper expectations before the meeting and reiterate that we are looking to grow Zappos as an independent company at this point in time, but are always open to exploring partnership opportunities. I look forward to hearing your ideas on Thursday. When we started talking to Amazon in early 2009, however, both sides seemed to have a different perspective compared with several years ago. On the Amazon side, they seemed to be more open to the idea of us continuing to run as an independent entity so that we could continue building the Zappos culture and business the way we wanted to. They had been following our progress over the years and saw that our approach to business was working for us. On the Zappos side, what mattered the most was continuing to do what we were doing for our employees and our customers while gaining access to Amazon's vast resources. In our minds, we thought of a potential acquisition scenario more as a great marriage than as selling the company. Both companies cared deeply about being customer-centric. We each just had different approaches to it. We thought of Zappos as being more high-touch and Amazon as being more high-tech. Even though our original goal was to buy out just our board of directors and the shares that they held and represented, the more we thought about it, the more that joining forces seemed to make sense. By doing so, all parties would be 100% aligned, which was the whole challenge that we were trying to overcome with our current board of directors. We had originally been resistant to the idea of exploring an acquisition scenario with Amazon, but Michael Moritz convinced us that it could end up being mutually beneficial and the best possible outcome for shareholders as well as employees. And, as it would turn out, he was right. Initially, Amazon wanted to literally buy Zappos using cash because that's how they had done most of their previous acquisitions. That didn't sit well with Alfred, Fred, or myself. In our minds, that felt too much like we were selling the company. Selling our company wasn't our goal. We wanted to continue building the Zappos brand, business, and culture. And we wanted to continue to feel like owners of the company. So we pushed hard for an all-stock transaction, meaning that Zappos shareholders would simply trade in their stock in exchange for Amazon shares. In our minds, this was much more in the spirit of the marriage that we were envisioning, analogous to when married couples get a joint bank account. As both sides got to know each other better over the next several months, our levels of mutual trust and respect for each other and for each other's businesses grew. When it finally came time to sign the paperwork, we felt incredibly lucky. Amazon was a win-win-win situation that made everyone happy. It was good for Amazon, good for our board of directors and shareholders, and good for Zappos employees. We could continue working towards our long-term vision and build our culture and our business the way we wanted to. If it weren't for Amazon, I'm not sure how we would have ended up resolving our alignment issues with the board. We might have remained at a stalemate. But as it turned out, our misalignment with the board turned out to be a blessing in disguise. It just goes to show that you never know when something you perceive as a negative will ultimately turn out to be a good thing. The hardest part about the whole process was having to keep everything secret from our employees for the several months leading up to the signing of the paperwork. We didn't want to do it, but were legally required by the SEC because Amazon was a public company. Jeff Bezos flew to Vegas and came to my house to meet Alfred, Fred, and myself right before the actual signing of the legal paperwork. I barbecued burgers for him in my backyard, and we all talked for a few hours. Later that night, Fred and I randomly ended up spending 2 hours in a recording studio talking and hanging out with Snoop Dogg. At the end of the night, Fred and I looked at each other and couldn't help but laugh. The entire day had been beyond surreal. July 22, 2009 was the day we were planning on signing and announcing the pending acquisition to our employees and to the world. We planned on announcing after the stock market closed. The hours leading up to the public announcement were nerve-wracking. We had to coordinate with Amazon to get all the timing down perfectly. We had to communicate with Zappos employees, Zappos vendors, Amazon employees, Amazon vendors, the press calling Amazon, the press calling Zappos, our customers, the SEC, our board of directors, our investors, and the general public, all within a two-hour window, and it had to be perfectly coordinated. It felt like we were about to launch a rocket to the moon. Finally, at the predetermined time, I sent the following email to our employees. Date, July 22, 2009. From Tony Hsieh. To all Zappos employees. Subject, Zappos and Amazon. Please set aside 20 minutes to carefully read this entire email. My apologies for the occasional use of formal-sounding language, as parts of it are written in a particular way for legal reasons. Today is a big day in Zappos history. This morning, our board approved and we signed what's known as a definitive agreement, in which all the existing shareholders and investors of Zappos, there are over 100, will be exchanging their Zappos stock for Amazon stock. Once the exchange is done, Amazon will become the only shareholder of Zappos stock. Over the next few days, you will probably read headlines that say, Amazon acquires Zappos, or Zappos sells to Amazon. While those headlines are technically correct, they don't really properly convey the spirit of the transaction. I personally would prefer the headline, Zappos and Amazon sitting in a tree. We plan to continue to run Zappos the way we've always run Zappos, continuing to do what we believe is best for our brand, our culture, and our business. From a practical point of view, it will be as if we are switching out our current shareholders and board of directors for a new one, even though the technical legal structure may be different. We think that now is the right time to join forces with Amazon because there is a huge opportunity to leverage each other's strengths and move even faster towards our long-term vision. For Zappos, our vision remains the same, delivering happiness to customers, employees, and vendors. We just want to get there faster. We are excited about doing this for three main reasons. One, we think there is a huge opportunity for us to really accelerate the growth of the Zappos brand and culture, and we believe that Amazon is the best partner to help us get there faster. Two, Amazon supports us in continuing to grow our vision as an independent entity under the Zappos brand and with our unique culture. Three, we want to align ourselves with a shareholder and partner that thinks really long-term, like we do at Zappos, as well as do what's in the best interest of our existing shareholders and investors. I will go through each of the previous points in more detail, but first, let me get to the top three burning questions that I'm guessing many of you will have. Burning question number one, will I still have a job? As previously mentioned, we plan to continue to run Zappos as an independent entity. In legal terminology, Zappos will be a wholly owned subsidiary of Amazon. Your job is just as secure as it was a month ago. Burning question number two, will the Zappos culture change? Our culture at Zappos is unique and always evolving and changing, because one of our core values is to embrace and drive change. What happens to our culture is up to us, which has always been true. Just like before, we are in control of our destiny and how our culture evolves. A big part of the reason why Amazon is interested in us is because they recognize the value of our culture, our people, and our brand. Their desire is for us to continue to grow and develop our culture, and perhaps even a little bit of our culture may rub off on them. They are not looking to have their folks come in and run Zappos unless we ask them to. That being said, they have a lot of experience and expertise in a lot of areas, so we're very excited about the opportunities to tap into their knowledge, expertise, and resources, especially on the technology side. This is about making the Zappos brand, culture, and business even stronger than it is today. Burning question number three, are Tony, Alfred, or Fred leaving? No, we have no plans to leave. We believe we're at the very beginning of what's possible for Zappos and are very excited about the future and what we can accomplish for Zappos with Amazon as our new partner. Part of the reason for doing this is so that we can get a lot more done more quickly. There is additional Q&A at the end of this email, but I wanted to make sure we got the top three burning questions out of the way first. Now that we've covered those questions, I wanted to share in more detail our thinking behind the scenes that led us to this decision. First, I want to apologize for the suddenness of this announcement. As you know, One of our core values is to build open and honest relationships with communication. And if I could have it my way, I would have shared much earlier that we were in discussions with Amazon so that all employees could be involved in the decision process that we went through along the way. Unfortunately, because Amazon is a public company, there are securities laws that prevented us from talking about this to most of our employees until today. We've been on friendly terms with Amazon for many years, as they've always been interested in Zappos and have always had a great respect for our brand. Several months ago, they reached out to us and said they wanted to join forces with us so that we could accelerate the growth of our business, our brand, and our culture. When they said they wanted us to continue to build the Zappos brand, as opposed to folding us into Amazon, we decided it was worth exploring what a partnership would look like. We learned that they truly wanted us to continue to build the Zappos brand and continue to build the Zappos culture in our own unique way. I think unique was their way of saying fun and a little weird. Over the past several months, as we got to know each other better, both sides became more and more excited about the possibilities for leveraging each other's strengths. We realize that we are both very customer-focused companies. We just focus on different ways of making our customers happy. Amazon focuses on low prices, fast selection, and convenience to make their customers happy, while Zappos does it through developing relationships, creating personal emotional connections, and delivering high-touch, wow, customer service. We realize that Amazon's resources, technology, and operational experience had the potential to greatly accelerate our growth, so that we could grow the Zappos brand and culture even faster. On the flip side, through the process, Amazon realized that it really was the case that our culture is the platform that enables us to deliver the Zappos experience to our customers. Jeff Bezos, CEO of Amazon, made it clear that he had a great deal of respect for our culture and that Amazon would look to protect it. We asked our board members what they thought of the opportunity. Michael Moritz, who represents Sequoia Capital, one of our investors and board members, wrote the following. You now have the opportunity to accelerate Zappos' progress and to make the name and the brand and everything associated with it an enduring, permanent part of people's lives. You are now free to let your imagination roam and to contemplate initiatives and undertakings that today, in our more constrained setting, we could not take on. One of the great things about Amazon is that they are very long-term thinkers, just like we are at Zappos. Alignment in very long-term thinking is hard to find in a partner or investor, and we felt very lucky and excited to learn that both Amazon and Zappos shared this same philosophy. All this being said, this was not an easy decision. Over the past several months, we had to weigh all the pros and cons along with all the potential benefits and risks. At the end of the day, we realized that once it was determined that this was in the best interest of our shareholders, it basically all boiled down to asking ourselves two questions. Question number one, do we believe that this will accelerate the growth of the Zappos brand and help us fulfill our mission of delivering happiness faster? Question number two, do we believe that we will continue to be in control of our own destiny so that we can continue to grow our unique culture? After spending a lot of time with Amazon and getting to know them and understanding their intentions better, we reached the conclusion that the answers to these two questions are yes and yes. The Zappos brand will continue to be separate from the Amazon brand. Although we'll have access to many of Amazon's resources, we need to continue to build our brand and our culture just as we always have. Our mission remains the same, delivering happiness to all of our stakeholders, including our employees, our customers, and our vendors. As a side note, we plan to continue to maintain the relationships we have with our vendors ourselves, and Amazon will continue to maintain the relationships that they have with their vendors. We will be holding an all-hands meeting soon to go over all of this in more detail. Please email me any questions that you may have so that we can cover as many as possible during the all-hands meeting and or a follow-up email. We signed what's known as the definitive agreement today, but we still need to go through the process of getting government approval, so we are anticipating that this transaction actually won't officially close for at least a few months. We are legally required by the SEC to be in what's known as a quiet period. So if you get any questions related to the transaction from anyone, including customers, vendors, or the media, please let them know we are in a quiet period mandated by law and have them email tree@zappos.com, which is a special email account that Alfred and I will be monitoring. Alfred and I would like to say thanks to the small group of folks on our finance and legal teams, and to our advisors at Morgan Stanley, Fenwick & West, and PricewaterhouseCoopers, who have been working really hard around the clock and behind the scenes over the last several months to help make all this possible. Before getting to the Q&A section, I'd also like to thank everyone for taking the time to read this long email and for helping us get to where we are today. It's definitely been an emotional day for me. The feelings I'm experiencing are similar to what I felt in college on graduation day. Excitement about the future mixed with fond memories of the past. The last 10 years were an incredible ride, and I'm excited about what we will accomplish together over the next 10 years as we continue to grow Zappos. Tony Hsieh, CEO, Zappos.com. Q&A. Question. Will we still continue to grow our headquarters out of Vegas? Yes. Just like before, we plan to continue to grow our Las Vegas operations as long as we can continue to attract the right talent for each of our departments. We do not have any plans to move any departments, nor does Amazon want us to because they recognize that our culture is what makes the Zappos brand special. Question. What will happen to our warehouse in Kentucky? As many of you know, we were strategic in choosing our warehouse location due to its proximity to the UPS Worldport hub in Louisville. Amazon does not have any warehouse locations that are closer to the Worldport hub. There is the possibility that they may want to store some of their inventory in our warehouse or vice versa. Right now, both Zappos and Amazon believe that the best customer experience is to continue running our warehouse in Kentucky at its current location. Question. Will we be reducing staff in order to gain operational efficiency? There are no plans to do so at this time. Both Zappos and Amazon are focused on growth, which means we will need to hire more people to help us grow. Question. Will we get a discount at Amazon? No, because we are planning on continuing to run Zappos as a separate company with our own culture and core values. And we're not going to be giving the Zappos discount to Amazon employees either, unless they bake us cookies and deliver them in person. Question. Will our benefits change? No. We are not planning on making any changes outside of the normal course of business to our benefits packages. Question. Do we keep our core values? Yes, we will keep our core values, and Amazon will keep their core values. Question. Will our training pipeline programs or progression plans change? Will there still be more growth opportunities? We will continue building out our pipeline and progression as planned. The whole point of this combination is to accelerate our growth. So if anything, we are actually anticipating more growth opportunities for everyone. Question. Will we continue to do the special things we do for our customers? Are our customer service policies going to change? Just like before, that's completely up to us to decide. Question. Can you tell me a bit more about Jeff Bezos, the Amazon CEO? What is he like? We'd like to show an 8-minute video of Jeff Bezos that will give you some insight into his personality and way of thinking. He shares some of what he's learned as an entrepreneur, as well as some of the mistakes he's made. For this audiobook, we're including the audio version of the video that Jeff Bezos made.
Hello, my name is Jeff Bezos. I started Amazon.com about 15 years ago. Tons of stories from the early days. We started the company in my house. We didn't have enough electric power in the house at a certain point. We only had about 4 employees then, but we already had enough computers and computer servers that we had to string these big orange electric extension cords from every room in the house to get enough power into the room where the office was. So we were basically, all the circuit breakers were flipping. We couldn't plug a vacuum cleaner in anywhere without flipping all the circuit breakers. So we finally had to move to a real office. When we launched the store, we made a very early mistake. It's one of my favorite software bugs of all time. We found that customers could order a negative quantity of books, and we would credit their credit card with the price, and I assume wait around for them to ship us the books. we fixed that one. It's fixed. And We've made a bunch of other mistakes over time, but we've learned a lot. My whole body is covered in scar tissue. We initially programmed a bell to ring every time we got an order, and I'm very pleased to say that within the first 30 days of doing business, that bell got annoying, so we had to turn it off. There was a great moment when we were examining every order that would come into Amazon, and it was always a family member placing the order. And the first order that we got from a stranger, I remember, you know, there were probably half a dozen or 10 of us in the company at that time, were all gathered around after the bell rang and looking at the order, and we're like, is that your mom? That's not my mom. And thus it began. A lot has happened over the last 15 years. As I said, we've made a lot of mistakes. We've learned some things. And I want to tell you everything I know. I can guarantee you everything I know. It's a very short list. This won't take long. And it's complete, too. All right, well, the first thing I know is that you need to obsess over customers. I can tell you that we have been doing this from the very beginning, and it's the only reason that Amazon.com exists today in any form. We've always put customers first. When given the choice of obsessing over competitors or obsessing over customers, we always obsess over customers. We pay attention to what our competitors do, but it's not where we put our energy. It's not where we get our motivation from. We really like to start with customers and work backwards. And again, that is the key thing that I know, and it covers a lot of other mistakes. If you're truly obsessed over customers, it'll cover a lot of errors. The second thing I know is invent. It's really important to invent. Anytime we have a problem, we never accept either-or thinking. We try to figure out a solution that gets both things. And that often requires invention, but you can invent your way out of any box if you believe that you can. And what we talk about is inventing on behalf of customers. It's not a customer's job to invent on for themselves. You need to listen to customers. It's critical. If you don't listen to customers, you will go astray. But they won't tell you everything, and so you need to invent on their behalf. And that focus on invention has served us well. Some of the recent things, Kindle, not just Kindle, but EC2, the Elastic Compute Cloud, these are things that we would have never gotten to if we didn't have an inventive culture. But also, those are kind of large grain things, but they're small things too. And then, think long term. This is really critical. Any company that wants to focus on customers and put customers first, any company that wants to invent on behalf of customers has to be willing to think long term. And it's actually much rarer than you might think. I find that most of the initiatives we undertake may take 5 to 7 years before they pay any dividends for the company. They may start paying dividends for customers right away, but they often take a long time to pan out for shareholders in the company. So that ability to think in sort of 5 years and 7 year time frames really is very, very useful for us, and it's definitely one of the things that I know. It requires, by the way, and allows a willingness to be misunderstood. If you think long term, many of the inventions that we undertake, maybe if they're disruptive in any way, they may not be understood in the early innings, and it's always been very important for us to think long term so that we can tolerate being misunderstood. We've been called Amazon.toast, Amazon.con, many different things, many of them not appropriate for a video. and if we think we're right, then we continue. If we think we're wrong, if we're criticized about something we think we're wrong, we change it. We fix it. So it's important to really think about those things, but never to buckle to sort of standard kinds of pressures that come on that really force short-term thinking. And it's a huge competitive advantage to be able to think long-term, and you get to serve customers much better. All right. That's all that I know, really. I know one more thing. I'll save it for the end. But I want to, you know, this is a very exciting day. Zappos is a company that I have long admired, and for a very important reason. You know, Zappos has a customer obsession Which is so easy for me to admire. It is the starting point for Zappos. It is the place where Zappos begins and ends. And that is a very key factor for me. And I'm kind of, you know, I get all weak-kneed when I see a customer-obsessed company. And Zappos certainly is that. Zappos also has a totally unique culture. It's unique. I've seen a lot of companies, and I have never seen a company with a culture like Zappos's. And I think that that kind of unique culture is a very significant asset, and I'm super excited about that. You know, I've spent a lot of time talking with Fred and Alfred and Tony, and I have a good feeling for how important that culture is to Zappos, the Zappos brand, the Zappos customers, the Zappos employees. And that culture and the Zappos brand are huge assets that I value very much, and I want to see those things continue. And you're in such great hands with Fred, Alfred, and Tony. That's a really big deal. I've seen a lot of leaders of companies too, and I haven't seen people better than those three. There's a lot of growth ahead of us with Zappos. This really is the beginning. I'm just totally excited about what can be accomplished over time. My belief is we haven't seen anything yet. As much as Zappos has accomplished already, and it's a lot, with that unique culture and that great Zappos brand and those terrific leaders, I know that it's just the very beginning. And that brings me to my final thing that I know. It's always day one. There's always more invention in the future, always more customer innovation, new ways to obsess over customers. I'm super excited about Zappos. Thank you.
Question. I'm a business financial reporter. Can you talk like a banker and use fancy-sounding language that we can print in a business publication? Zappos is an online footwear category leader, and Amazon believes Zappos is the right team with a unique culture, proven track record, and the experience to become a leading soft goods company. Zappos' customer service obsession reinforces Amazon's mission to be the Earth's most customer-centric company. Great brand, strong vendor relationships, broad selection, large active and repeat customer base. Amazon believes Zappos is a great business, growing, profitable, and positive cash flow. Accelerate combined companies' scale and growth trajectory in the shoe, apparel, and accessories space. Significant synergy opportunities, including technology, marketing, and possible international expansion. Question. What is the purchase price? This is not a cash transaction. This is a stock exchange. Our shareholders and option holders will be issued approximately 10 million Amazon shares on a fully converted basis. The details of the deal terms and how the shares will be distributed will be filed with the SEC on Form S-4 and will be publicly available when it is filed. Question. Can you talk like a lawyer now? This email was sent on July 22, 2009. In connection with the proposed merger, Amazon.com will file a registration statement on Form S-4 with the Securities and Exchange Commission that will contain a consent solicitation prospectus. Zappos' shareholders and investors are urged to carefully read the consent solicitation and prospectus when it becomes available and other relevant documents filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission regarding the proposed merger, because they contain important information about Amazon.com, Zappos, and the proposed merger. Shareholders and investors will be able to obtain the consent solicitation prospectus when it becomes available at www.sec.gov or www.amazon.com/IR. Certain statements contained in this email are not statements of historical fact and constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements reflect current expectations, are inherently uncertain, and are subject to known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors. Factors that could cause future results to differ materially from expected results include those set forth in Amazon.com's current report on Form 8K, dated July 22, 2009. Question. Can you please stop? Okay, thanks, bye. About 20 minutes afterwards, I sent a follow-up email letting our employees know that we would be having our all-hands meeting 2 days later. We had rented out one of the ballrooms in a conference center near our offices. And then, a funny thing happened. We had prepped the managers of each of the departments earlier that morning to meet with their teams to answer any questions they may have about my email. We had expected and planned for there to be no productivity for the rest of the day as our employees took in the news. As predicted, employees were initially surprised by the news. As predicted, employees had questions. But within an hour of the announcement, our employees got right back to work, continuing whatever they had been doing earlier. Our merchandising team was busy making phone calls to our vendors, and a handful of us were busy dealing with inquiries from the press. But other than that, for most people, it was back to business as usual. I was absolutely amazed. I had been worried that employees would be too shocked by the headline of Amazon acquiring Zappos to really take in all the details that were covered in my email. Instead, after the initial surprise had subsided, I overheard employees talking in the hallways about how excited and enthusiastic they were about the new possibilities that would open up once we had access to Amazon's resources. It was an incredible thing to witness, and perhaps one of the best examples of our employees embracing and driving change. All hands. The room was packed. I was on stage at our all-hands meeting, looking over a crowd of 700 Zappos employees. Alfred and Fred were on stage with me, along with a couple of people from Amazon. Party music filled the room as employees streamed in looking for empty seats. I could feel the buzz and excitement in the air. Some employees brought beach balls and started throwing them around into the crowd. It felt like we were at a rock concert and a rave combined. We announced that we were going to start the meeting, and everyone cheered and started clapping. The energy in the room was amazing. We spent about an hour covering everything that was in the email I had sent out 2 days earlier and answered additional questions our employees had. Amazon also answered some of the questions to give their perspective on everything. I get asked by a lot of people what we would do differently if we had to do Zappos all over again, I said to the crowd. There's actually not much I wish we would have done differently. We've made a lot of mistakes along the way, but learning from those mistakes has made us that much stronger. But I do wish that we could have done things faster. And then I summed up everything in one sentence. Getting married to Amazon will allow us to fulfill our vision of delivering happiness to the world that much faster. As a surprise to our employees, Alfred and I announced that we were personally paying for and giving every employee a Kindle, Amazon's electronic book reader. And then, as a final surprise, we also announced that Amazon was paying for a big bonus to all of our existing employees to thank everyone for their hard work. Without any prompting, everyone in the entire room spontaneously jumped from their seats, standing up cheering and clapping. A lot of them even had tears of happiness streaming down their faces. Just like we surprised many of our loyal repeat customers with unexpected upgrades to overnight shipping, we had just made our already happy employees even happier with the surprise bonus. To me, that one moment represented success far beyond what I could have possibly imagined would be achievable 10 years ago. It wasn't just about the Kindle or the bonus. Those were just bonuses. The moment signified far more than that. The unified energy and emotion of everyone in the room was not just about my own personal happiness and not just about the happiness of Zappos employees. We were about much more than just profits and passion. Collectively, this marked the beginning of the next leg of our journey to help change the world. Half intentionally and half by luck, we had found our path to profits, passion, and purpose. We had found our path to delivering happiness. Halloween Toast. On October 31st, at 11:59 p.m. Pacific Time, after months of waiting for regulatory approval, the deal with Amazon officially closed. The total value of the transaction for Zappos shareholders was over $1.2 billion, based on Amazon's closing stock price the day before. I happened to be in New Delhi, India at the time. Alfred, Fred, and I had scheduled a conference call together to commemorate the event. In Zappos tradition, we had planned to take a shot of Grey Goose vodka together over the phone. "What should we toast to?" Alfred asked. For some reason, the first thing that came to my mind was Buzz Lightyear from the movie Toy Story. To infinity and beyond, I said. We all toasted. It was official. Zappos and Amazon were married. We could finally start working together to combine our respective strengths of art and science, of high touch and high tech. We were excited about the possibilities of what was yet to come. We were excited about what we were about to build together. The future was waiting for us. No matter what your past has been, you have a spotless future. Author unknown. In January 2010, Zappos moved up 8 slots and was ranked number 15 in Fortune magazine's annual list of the best companies to work for. Chapter 7, Endgame. Delivering happiness. So far, this audiobook has been about me, about Zappos, and about some of the lessons we've learned along the way. So far, you've been a passive listener. As we near the end of this audiobook, I'd like to ask you to actively participate and think about the answer to this question. What is your goal in life? When I ask different people this question, I get a lot of different answers. Some people say they want to start a company. Other people say they want to find a boyfriend or girlfriend. Others say they want to get healthy. Whatever your response is, I'd like you to think about your answer to the follow-up question, which is just, why? Depending on what they said before, people might say they want to retire early, or find a soulmate, or run faster. Again, whatever your response to the previous question was, I'd like you to ask yourself again, why? The next set of answers people give might be so they can spend more time with their family, or get married, or run a marathon. What's interesting is that if you keep asking yourself why enough times, you'll find yourself arriving at the same answer that most people do when they repeatedly ask themselves why they are doing what they're doing. And it's because they believe that whatever they are pursuing in life will ultimately make them happier. In the end, it turns out that we're all taking different paths in pursuit of the same goal, happiness. In 2007, I started getting interested in learning more about the science of happiness. I learned that it was a relatively new research field known as positive psychology. Prior to 1998, almost all psychology was about trying to figure out how to get people who had something wrong with them more normal. But most psychologists and researchers never bothered to examine what would make normal people happier. I started reading more and more books and articles about the science of happiness, including Happiness Hypothesis and Happier. Initially, it was just a side hobby and interest of mine that had nothing to do with Zappos. And then one day, it hit me. It had everything to do with Zappos. In retrospect, it seems so obvious, but it took me over a year to figure this out. We've always had customers tell us that they think of the experience of opening up a Zappos shipment as happiness in a box. Whether it's the happiness that customers feel when they receive the perfect pair of shoes or the perfect outfit, or the happiness that customers feel from our surprise upgrades to overnight shipping, or when they talk to someone on our customer loyalty team, or the happiness that employees feel from being part of a culture whose values match their own personal values. The thing that ties all of these things together is happiness. In 2009, we expanded our vision and purpose to a simple statement. Zappos is about delivering happiness to the world. It's been interesting to look at the evolution of the Zappos brand promise over the years. 1999, largest selection of shoes. 2003, customer service. 2005, culture and core values as our platform. 2007, personal emotional connection. 2009, delivering happiness. From my perspective, it seemed to make sense to try to learn more about the science of happiness so that the knowledge could be applied to running our business. We could learn about some of the science behind how to make customers and employees happier. Today, we even offer a Science of Happiness class to our employees. As I studied the field more, I learned that one of the consistent findings from the research was that people are very bad at predicting what will actually bring them sustained happiness. Most people go through their lives thinking, when I get X, then I'll be happy. Or, when I achieve X, then I'll be happy. In fact, the research shows that the happiness they thought they would achieve fades fairly quickly. For example, there have been studies on lottery winners that compare their happiness levels right before winning the lottery with their happiness levels a year later. The studies generally find that a person's happiness level reverts back to wherever it was before. To me, learning about this phenomenon was incredibly interesting. It meant that, for most people, finally achieving their goal in life, whatever it was, whether it was making money, getting married, or running faster, would not actually bring them sustained happiness. And yet, many people have spent their entire lives pursuing what they thought would make them happy. So the question for you to ask yourself is whether what you think you want to pursue will actually get you the happiness you think it will get you. If the ultimate goal is happiness, then wouldn't it make sense for you to study and learn more about the science of happiness so that you can apply the research that's already been done to your own life? With just a little bit of knowledge based on the findings from scientific research, how much happier could you be? How much happier could your customers and employees be if you applied the knowledge to your company? How much healthier would your business be as a result? I ran my first marathon in 2006. Prior to that, I had never run more than a mile in my life. Like summiting Kilimanjaro, it was something I just wanted to check off of my list of things to do. I didn't know anything about how to train for a marathon, so I started reading articles and books about it. As it turned out, there had been plenty of research done about the science of running and training for a marathon. I had initially assumed that I would have to run really hard for several months, every day, in order to achieve the best results in the marathon. But that turned out not to be the case at all. In fact, the research has shown that the best way to train for a marathon is to do long runs at a slower pace than you would actually run the marathon at. A rule of thumb is to run slow enough so that you can comfortably carry on a long conversation without being out of breath. When I tried to do that the first time, it felt almost uncomfortably slow. This training strategy is now accepted as common knowledge amongst marathon runners, but for the rest of us, it can seem pretty counterintuitive. Just like we instinctually know how to run, we instinctually think we know what will make us happy. But research has shown that you can perform better in a marathon if you train yourself in ways that may initially seem to go against your gut instinct. Similarly, research in the science of happiness has shown that there are things that can make you happier that you may not realize will actually make you happier. And the reverse is true as well. There are things that you think will make you happy, but actually won't in the long run. I don't claim to be an expert in the field of the science of happiness. I've just been reading books and articles about it because I find the topic really interesting. So I wanted to briefly share some of the frameworks of happiness that I personally found the most useful in helping shape my thinking, with the goal of whetting your appetite to do a little bit of reading yourself so that you can maximize your own personal level of happiness. Happiness framework number one. Happiness is really just about four things: perceived control, perceived progress, connectedness, meaning the number and depth of your relationships, and vision or meaning, being part of something bigger than yourself. What's interesting about this framework is that you can apply these concepts to your business as well. Perceived control. In our call center, we used to give raises once a year to our reps, which they didn't really have any control over. We later decided to implement a skill set system instead. We have about 20 different skill sets that are analogous to merit badges in the Boy Scouts, with a small bump in pay associated with each of the skill sets. It's up to each individual rep to decide whether to get trained and certified on each of the skill sets. If someone chooses not to get any, then he or she simply stays at the same pay level. If someone is ambitious and wants to gain all 20 skill sets, then we let the rep decide on the right pace to achieve that. We've since found that our call center reps are much happier being in control of their pay and which skill sets to attain. Perceived progress. In our merchandising department at Zappos, we used to promote employees from the entry-level position of merchandising assistant to the next level of assistant buyer after 18 months, assuming they met all the requirements to qualify for the promotion. We later decided to give smaller promotions every 6 months instead, that together were the equivalent of the previous single promotion. After 18 months, consisting of 3 6-month periods of smaller promotions, the end result was still the same in terms of training, certification, and pay as the previous promotion schedule. We found that employees are much happier because there's an ongoing sense of perceived progress. Connectedness. Studies have shown that engaged employees are more productive, and that the number of good friends an employee has at work is correlated with how engaged that employee is. In The Happiness Hypothesis, the author concludes that happiness doesn't come primarily from within, but rather from between. This is one of the reasons why we place so much emphasis on company culture at Zappos. Vision or meaning. Both Good to Great and Tribal Leadership discuss how a company with a vision that has a higher purpose beyond just money, profits, or being number one in a market is an important element of what separates a great company in terms of long-term financial performance from a good one. Happiness Framework number 2. Chip Conley's book, Peak, does an excellent job of describing how Maslow's hierarchy can be condensed to a pyramid of 3 levels for business purposes and applied to customers, employees, and investors. The fundamental premise behind Maslow's hierarchy of human needs is that once a person's survival needs are met, food, safety, shelter, water, etc., then humans are more motivated by other non-materialistic needs such as social status, achievement, and creativity. Chip Conley describes the 3 levels of the customer pyramid as meets expectations, meets desires, and meets unrecognized needs. He describes the 3 levels of the employee pyramid as money, recognition, and meaning. And he describes the 3 levels of the investor pyramid as transaction alignment, relationship alignment, and legacy. Many companies and managers believe that giving employees more money will make them happier. Whereas most HR surveys show that once people's basic needs are met, money is farther down the list of importance than intangibles such as the quality of the relationship with one's manager and professional growth opportunities. At Zappos, an example of the customer hierarchy at work would be receives correct item, meets expectations, free shipping, meets desires, surprise upgrade to overnight shipping, meets unrecognized needs. Happiness Framework number 3. 3 types of happiness: pleasure, passion, and higher purpose. Pleasure. The pleasure type of happiness is about always chasing the next high. I like to refer to it as the rock star type of happiness because it's great if you have a constant inflow of stimuli, but it's very hard to maintain unless you're living the lifestyle of a rock star. Research has shown that of the 3 types of happiness, this is the shortest lasting. As soon as the source of stimuli goes away, people's happiness levels drop immediately. Passion. The passion type of happiness is also known as flow, where peak performance meets peak engagement, and time flies by. Research has shown that of the 3 types of happiness, this is the second longest lasting. Professional athletes sometimes refer to this state as being in the zone. Higher purpose. The higher purpose type of happiness is about being part of something bigger than yourself that has meaning to you. Research has shown that of the 3 types of happiness, this is the longest lasting. What I find interesting is that many people go through life chasing after the pleasure type of happiness, thinking that once they are able to sustain that, then they will worry about the passion and, if they get around to it, look for their higher purpose. Based on the findings of the research, however, the proper strategy would be to figure out and pursue the higher purpose first, since it's the longest lasting type of happiness, then layer on top of that the passion, and then add on top of that the pleasure type of happiness. Happiness as a fractal. According to Merriam-Webster, a fractal is any irregular curves or shapes for which any chosen part is similar in shape to a given larger or smaller part when magnified or reduced to the same size. One of the properties of fractals is that if you zoom in or zoom out, the picture looks the same or very similar. According to Wikipedia, many natural objects have fractal-like properties, including clouds, mountain ranges, lightning bolts, coastlines, snowflakes, various vegetables such as cauliflower and broccoli, and animal coloration patterns. I think the parallels between what the research has found makes people happy, pleasure, passion, and purpose, and what the research has found makes for great long-term companies, profits, passion, and purpose, makes for one of the most interesting fractals I've ever come across. At first glance, the patterns generated by geometric fractals may seem infinitely complex, but it's often just a simple mathematical formula that generates them. Similarly, setting out to create a great long-term company may seem to be an overwhelmingly daunting task at first, but using happiness as an organizing principle can help guide you along the way. Even though writing a book was one of the things I wanted to check off of my list of things to do, this book wasn't written just for that reason. And even though this will serve as a handbook for future Zappos employees and maybe get us a few additional customers as well, this wasn't written for the benefit of Zappos either. I wanted to write this book for a different reason, to contribute to a happiness movement to help make the world a better place. My hope is that through this book, established businesses will look to change the way they're doing things, and entrepreneurs will be inspired to start new companies with happiness at the core of their business models, taking with them some of the lessons I've learned personally, as well as the lessons we've collectively learned at Zappos. My hope is that more and more companies will start to apply some of the findings coming out of the research in the field of the science of happiness to make their business better and their customers and employees happier. My hope is this will not only bring you happiness, but also enable you to bring other people more happiness. If happiness is everyone's ultimate goal, wouldn't it be great if we could change the world and get everyone in every business thinking in that context and that framework? I don't have all the answers, but hopefully I've succeeded in getting you to start asking yourself the right questions. Are you working towards maximizing your happiness each day? What is the net effect of your existence on the total amount of happiness in the world each day? What are your values? What are you passionate about? What inspires you? What is your goal in life? What are your company's values? What is your company's higher purpose? What is your higher purpose? Bertice Barry said, "When you walk with purpose, you collide with destiny." I hope listening to this audiobook has inspired you to make your customers happier through better customer service, or make your employees happier by focusing more on company culture, or make yourself happier by learning more about the science of happiness. If this book has inspired you, then I'll have done my part in helping both Zappos and myself achieve our higher purpose, delivering happiness to the world. Epilogue. Join the movement. As a guiding principle in life for anything I do, I try to ask myself, what would happen if everyone in the world acted in the same way? What would the world look like? What would the net effect be on the overall happiness in the world? This thought experiment has been useful to me when thinking about whether to share how we do things at Zappos, or whether to get upset at the waitress who accidentally got my order wrong, or whether to hold the door open for a stranger who's a slightly inconvenient distance away. The same questions are just as important for deciding what not to do, even if not doing anything is the default choice. The ideas could end here. You can choose to turn off the audiobook and do nothing and move on with the rest of your life. Or you can be part of a movement to help make the world a happier and better place. The choice is yours. Visit us online at www.deliveringhappinessbook.com. Learn what else you can do to be a part of the movement. Together, we can change the world. Buddha once said, "Thousands of candles can be lit from a single candle, and the life of the candle will not be shortened. Happiness never decreases by being shared."
Tweets to live by. Life isn't about finding yourself. Life is about creating yourself. George Bernard Shaw. It is amazing what you can accomplish if you do not care who gets the credit. Harry S. Truman. We either make ourselves miserable or we make ourselves strong. The amount of work is the same. Carlos Castaneda. What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. Ralph Waldo Emerson.